Well, this morning, I would like you to take your Bibles, if you would, please, and go to the book of 1 Corinthians. I want to give something to you that I trust will be a help and encouragement to you. We're certainly living in difficult days, and sometimes we stand back and we say, now, that person professes to know the Lord. How in the world could they do what they just did? You ever been there? You observe the actions and attitudes of someone else, and you say, I don't understand. They've grown up in church. They profess to know the Lord as their personal Savior. I just don't understand how they could do what they just did. I'm sure there are times that we even refer to ourselves in that vein. I know the Lord. I know what God says in His Word. I can't believe what I just did or what I just said or where I just went. Why do those things happen? Why do people do things that send out a signal that their testimony is marred by that, their actions, their attitudes, and gives people a false impression concerning them? How could they have done that? Well, I believe the Bible has an answer to that. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 3, he talks about carnality. There's a lot of people sitting in church today that are very complacent. They're satisfied with where they are spiritually. They might have been saved for a number of years, and yet there's not a whole lot of spiritual growth in their life. Let me just say this. Spiritual growth does just not happen. Just because you go to Grace Baptist Church does not mean you're going to grow spiritually every day. Just because you have Christian parents, young people, does not mean that you're going to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Growing in grace requires work. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it takes time, and it takes effort, and it takes work, and it takes prayer in order to advance and grow in the good things of the Lord. But there's a lot of complacent people when it comes to that. I'm tired. I've got a lot of responsibilities. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. There's a lot of things today that vie for our time. Would you say amen to that? I'm not making you, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, but I want to make you feel uncomfortable this morning. There's a lot of things that want our attention. And they want to drag us away from this good book called the Bible. Good things, not necessarily bad and evil and wicked things, but good things that can pull us away. And there's a lot of people that probably, is next week the Super Bowl? A lot of people this week that are going to make a decision, Sunday night church, I don't need to go there. I'm going to watch the Super Bowl. Come on now, I need a little help there. That means I need an amen right there. The fewer amens, the longer you're going to be here. So if you want to go home and have something to eat on time and not burn the roast, you better learn to say amen in a quick hurry here. There's a lot of people that are going to make a decision. I don't need to go this week. I'll go to the Super Bowl, watch it on TV. There's even some churches that are planning a Super Bowl Sunday. And they've purchased themselves a great big large television screen. Going to set it up. And they're going to show the Super Bowl at the church, passing out popcorn and soda. And then between halftime, rather than watching the halftime show, they're going to have a little devotional. And I'm sure God is just sitting up in heaven, so excited about that, so pleased with that, and just going to pour out all kind of blessing upon them because of that. We sit back and we say, how could a church that claims to be a follower of the Lord do something like that? You ever been there? I just don't understand it. People hear the Bible, but they just don't get it. It doesn't resonate with them. And as a result of that, there's a lot of carnality sitting in the church. Could I say to you this morning that there's three kinds of people sitting in this church service today? Number one, they're obviously and could be in this church service a lost individual. They've never trusted Christ as their Savior. You might have gone to this church for years, but you've never truly been saved. You might have even been raised in a Christian home, but you're truly not saved. There's lost people that go to church. There's lost people that are regular and faithful in their church service. And so lost people come to church, but they're dead in their trespass and in their sin. That's what the Bible says about them. They have no spiritual activation. Now, right there is where I feel a shout coming on. Because when you come to Christ, all of a sudden, the very things that you need in order to be rightly and properly connected to the Lord are made available to us. Could you say amen right there? You become spiritually active because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A lost man has no spiritual activation. He has nothing within him that is going to respond to spiritual truth. He hears it, but he can't do anything with it. There's nothing within him. If I understand my Bible correctly, and you Bible scholars that are sitting here this morning, you can attest to this or deny this, one of the two. When a person has the Holy Spirit, he has a teacher living within him that is going to instruct him and help him comprehend, understand, and apply the Bible to his life. Am I right there? A dead person, a person without Christ, spiritually lost, has no activation to understand and comprehend those things. Not only that, but he has no spiritual appreciation. He really doesn't appreciate the Bible. In fact, the Bible tells us, if you turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man, that's the lost man, the man that is dead in his trespass and sin, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, they're foolishness to him. You ever hear someone make fun of the Bible and the things of the Lord and this matter of heaven and hell and all of that? They look upon those things as being foolish and unnecessary. And I don't need any of that. I don't believe in that. They make fun of that simply because they have no spiritual appreciation. Do you appreciate your Bible? Amen. Do you appreciate your church? Do you appreciate your pastor? Do you appreciate your Christian brothers and sisters in the Lord? Do you appreciate the fact that every Sunday, the Lord willing, the church doors are going to be open and the lights are going to be on and you're going to be able to come and sing the songs of Zion and hear the preaching of the Word of God? Do you appreciate that? See, a lost man has no spiritual appreciation for the things of the Lord. And so we know from the Bible that a man without Christ and could be sitting here in this service this morning has no spiritual activation and he has no spiritual appreciation. But let me take it one more step. A man without Christ has no spiritual appropriation. We understand why the natural man, the lost man, does the things that he does. Are you with me there? Is that a good place to say amen right there? We just added another 5 minutes to the service. A man that has no spiritual appropriation does not understand the Bible. He doesn't have the tools that are necessary. Now, what is the one tool that is necessary in order to understand this book? The Holy Spirit. He's the one that reveals the truth of God's word to us. He uses the pastor to communicate truth. He uses folks like myself and Sunday school teachers and even individuals like you to communicate the truth of God's word. A man that is lost doesn't have any appropriation of God's word in his life. He hears the message, but he never does anything with it. They just don't get it. So sitting in the church today could be someone that's lost. And then there's two kinds of Christians sitting in this church today. Are you ready for this? You fall in, if you know the Lord, and I trust that you do, you're one of these is you. And one of these is me. The first kind of an individual that is sitting here is a spiritual man. He discerns and understands and is in the Bible and following the Bible and making application of the Word of God in his life. He discerns the things of the Lord. He appreciates the things of the Lord. He follows what God says in his word. In fact, Paul describes that individual in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 15. He that is spiritual judges or discerns all things, yet he himself is judged to no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We think in a spiritual level concerning the things of the Lord. That's a spiritual man.
Yeah, amen.
He's able to distinguish and discern. So you could be a Christian here this morning that's spiritual. You could be an individual that is here this morning that's lost. Or you could be an individual sitting in this church service this morning that is carnal. Are carnal people saved? Yep. Paul starts in Ephesians or 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, he referred to them as God's people. A carnal person is a self-centered individual filled with the flesh, doing those things that the natural man does. Carnal, fleshly, worldly. And so you could be a carnal, worldly Christian here. A person that we sit back and say, boy, I don't understand how they could do it. Right there it is. Right there it is. They're carnal. But they profess to know the Lord. Yeah, but they're carnal. But I just don't understand why they would do it. They're carnal. They're not growing in the spirit of grace. They're not growing in the things of God. They're not making application of God's word in their individual life. Now, when we talk about a carnal person, we're talking about a person that is saved, but they're carnal. That word carnal means fleshly. They are just simply regulated, controlled, and directed by their selfish self. You ever been there? Sometimes my fleshly appetites raise their ugly head. And if you were honest with yourself, you'd say the same thing is true for you as well. And so sometimes that carnality makes us do things or makes it easy for us to do things that confuse others, and they sit back and question our Christianity. Carnal. A carnal person is one that walks after the flesh, controlled by that flesh, directed by that flesh, thinking like that flesh. A spiritual man has the mind of Christ. He thinks like Christ does. How do you start thinking like Christ thinks? You get into the Bible and read what Christ has said, what God wants to communicate to us. So you're either thinking the way God wants you to think, or we are thinking the way the flesh wants us to think. When we think like the flesh, we do things that cause a big question mark in other people's minds. And they sit back and say, well, how could they ever have done that? A person that is carnal is dominated or controlled by fleshly appetites. The things of the Lord are just not that real important to them. In fact, the Apostle Paul calls them babies. Verse number one, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Brethren, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, fleshly, worldly-minded individuals that are not thinking like the mind of Christ they ought to be thinking about, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, we understand a person that just recently was saved, they've got some spiritual growth to experience in their babyhood. I'm talking about the ones that have been sitting in this church for a long time or sitting in another church for a long time. And there just doesn't seem to be any of that spiritual growth that is taking place in their individual life. Oh, saved, sure enough, they've trusted the Lord, but they've got fleshly appetites that dominate their life and control their life, and they're not acting like a real Christian. They lack spiritual growth. And the reason that they lack that spiritual growth, Paul says, they can't hear. Now, my wife tells me I can't hear. I hear that quite frequently. Sometimes she tells me I have selective hearing. Now, you fellas don't have any idea what I'm talking about, I'm sure. But I hear it quite often. You need hearing aids. You're not hearing what I'm saying. And sometimes she catches me when she'll say something and then say, repeat what I just said to you. A person that is carnal doesn't get it. He's not hearing what God is saying. You can sit in a church service like this, and you look very much alive. You even look like you're paying attention. But behind those eyeballs and on the upper level storage of our head is a brain. And it thinks, and it could be far away from here. You're thinking about that meal that you're going to have at lunchtime. Think about where you're going after you get out of church. Think about what you're going to do when you get out of church. You're not really hearing. I mean, you're hearing words, but you're not comprehending those words, laying hold of those words, and making application of those words in your life. And as a result of that, you are dull of hearing. That word dull just simply means you're slow to hearing. Now, parents, you understand some of that when you tell your kids to do something and they don't move. They're slow of hearing. You didn't mean go take out the garbage 3 weeks from now. You meant do it now. Go clean your room. You didn't mean to do it when it's convenient to you. That's why some of these teenage bedrooms look like a cyclone went through there. They're slow of hearing. The same thing is true in our church services. There are people that are slow of hearing. They just don't get it. And they never apply it to their life. And they become carnal. They lack that spiritual growth. Paul also says, when you should be teaching others, you have someone you need to teach you the first principles and oracles of God. What does that mean? Well, the basic fundamental things that you ought to have been taught and comprehended and laid hold of when you first got saved, you need to go back all over that again because you didn't get it the first round or the second round or the third round or however long you've been saved. It just didn't resonate with you. There's some real principles that we need to learn from the scriptures in our beginning days and walk with the Lord that are very applicable to us even after being saved for years and years. Paul said we need to lay some things aside so that we can pursue and go on to perfection. Now, I'm not talking about sinless perfection there in Hebrews chapter 6. He's talking about maturity, going on to maturity. You can't always live on the basics. You've got to put some meat to the bones. I like chicken. And I like a lot of meat on my chicken. I don't want someone just to serve me a bone. I want some meat on that bone, don't you? And God wants some meat on our bones, on our spiritual bones. He wants some meat on those bones. And it just doesn't accidentally happen. It's got to be pursued in our life. And so a carnal individual lacks spiritual growth simply because he just doesn't get it. His ear is not tuned to the things of the Lord. And when he ought to be able to communicate to others the foundational and fundamental principles of the Christian life, he has need of someone to go back over that all over again and teach him that. They can't communicate those things. And then the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, Paul tells us in that passage of Scripture, they can't even use God's word to discern between right and wrong. If I had a dollar bill for every time someone come to me and said, preacher, I don't know whether this is right or wrong. I could buy a truckload of paper. What's the problem? We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. And People that are growing in the things of the Lord have that knack, that ability to discern between what is right and wrong. They can use the word skillfully and properly in order to make clear, distinctive decisions that are going to be in line with the word of God. A person that is carnal, not growing, can't do that. So they do some awfully dumb, stupid things in their Christian life. And we sit back and say, how could they have ever done that? Well, very simple. They don't get it. They're not in it. They need someone to teach them those fundamental, foundational principles all over again. And they're not in their Bible and being able to distinguish and skillfully and spiritually use the word of God to make proper decisions that will bring honor and glory to the Lord. If you're going to grow, you need to be in God's word. Amen. And I'm not talking just about Sunday morning. Yeah. It amazes me the number of Christians that come to church and don't bring the manual with them.
Yeah, sure, right.
Yeah. And so what we've done is we've placed, and I'm not saying that this is wrong, we've placed Bibles in our hymn book racks. Mm-hmm. And basically, to justify that, it's for people that come to church that may be visiting and they're not familiar with the church and they didn't bring a Bible. There's a Bible there for them, the right kind of a Bible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We say, well, what's the right kind of Bible? There's only one Bible.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
You don't go to the bookstore and make your choice. There's just one Bible. God only wrote one book.
Yeah.
It's contained for us. The preserved word of God is contained for us in the King James Bible. I said that. That's out and over with right there. But a lot of times, preacher says, turn in your Bibles to such and such a passage of Scripture. Or find one of those Old Testament books. I remember one church I was in, I said, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hezekiah, chapter 7, verse number 14. I'm going to preach from that verse today. Boy, they were flipping and searching and looking. Now, those of you that are familiar with the manual know that there's no book called in the Bible the Book of Hezekiah. It's not even in the Apocrypha. If you're in your Bible, you're reading your Bible and studying your Bible and making application of your Bible, then you're going to become familiar with your Bible. And if you're going to grow spiritually, you have to become familiar with God's word, what he's saying in that word, and apply that to your individual life to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does it take a matter of getting into God's word and reading, but you got to study it. You got to study it. You got to meditate on it. You have to think about it. You have to be consistent about that. It's not a hit and a miss kind of thing. It's a constant, obedient, prayerful, diligent study of God's word and the application of that. So the carnal individual lacks the things that are necessary to be a growing Christian. So what's the marks of carnality? What does a carnal Christian look like? Well, Paul said, when I should have been able to give you the meat of the word, I had to give you the milk of the word. The simple things. The basic things. Not any meatful things. They lack spiritual understanding. And so it really doesn't resonate with them if you get too deep into the Word of God. They easily go to lullaby land. You ever see someone sleeping in church? They're in lullaby land. The devil loves to get people into that mode because you're not going to receive what God has for you if you're in lullaby land. You think about a baby Christian. If you went to the nursery, you'd soon discover that babies down there are selfish. Throw a toy out in the middle of the floor and see the scramble. And see the tug of war that takes place. And invariably, one of them, now these teenagers would never do that. I know that. They don't do things like that. But if you were a baby, throw a toy out there, and they gather those toys to themselves, and even though they're not playing with all of those toys, you dare not touch that toy. That's my toy. They're selfish. That's a baby. Somebody that is a baby Christian is selfish. Not only that, but their attention span is awful short. Those of you that have raised children, you know what it was like on Christmas morning. You get them five packages, five toys. They rip them open in a hurry. Papers everywhere, cardboard is everywhere, boxes are everywhere, toys are out there on the floor, and usually there's one toy that they gravitate to. The rest of it is just sideline stuff. I tell my kids that have little children, now they're my grandchildren and they're having children, I say, what you need to do is buy five toys this year, and at the end of Christmas, put those five toys away. And next year, get five more toys. You can bring out those toys, give them those toys, put those toys away. They'll never know the difference. You just keep switching. You know, you get five toys, 10 toys, five toys this year, then the same five toys next year, and they'll never know the difference. Preacher can preach the same message 3 weeks in a row, and baby Christians, they'll never lay hold of the fact that was the same message I heard last week. They didn't hear it last week. You see, a carnal baby, they're often seduced by things that glitter. Aren't they? Glitter. The advertising world's learned that. Satan has learned that. And so he makes things look awful attractive, glittery, sparkly. You can't get along in life without it. You see some of these advertisements that the advertisers use? You can't live if you don't use Colgate toothpaste. Your teeth are going to fall out. They're going to rot. If you use one of those other brands, you're a sure individual that's going to end up in the dentist store. You use Colgate, you'll never need a dentist again. If I thought Colgate never would put me in an office, in a dentist office again, I'd live on Colgate. I'd eat it for breakfast, I'd eat it for lunch, I'd eat it for supper. I'd have Colgate everywhere I went. They've learned, if we can just make something look attractive and glittery and eye-catching, you can't get along in life without it, they'll fall for it every time. Maybe Christians are like that. They fall for it every time. Glittering. Babies are swayed by desires, aren't they? Whatever seems to be attractive to them, they want them. They want it. Take a child to Toys R Us. Let them go down the toy aisle. They want everything they see. They have to have it. Mom's there trying to put things back on the shelf while they're pulling five more things off the shelf. I gotta have it. I want it. Do you ever go into a store that's serving popcorn? Now, I don't know where you are, but I love popcorn. I love popcorn. I can have popcorn every night. I just love popcorn. Buttery popcorn, you know. I mean, a lot of butter on the popcorn. Douse it down with a lot of salt. Doctor says I'm not supposed to do that. But, boy, every once in a while, every evening between 6 and 7, popcorn tastes awful good at that time. A lot of butter and a lot of salt. Go into a store and smell popcorn and guess what's in your brain. Boy, could I ever have some popcorn. I was driving down here yesterday and I I passed one of the stores up toward Lancaster, and I noticed on their sign, I think it was where you make that turn, and there's a Rutter's there, there's a store on before you make that turn, and they were advertising soft pretzels. I think the last sign on their billboard of what's in that store was soft pretzels. I love soft pretzels. I've been thinking about, Erica, I've been thinking about soft pretzels ever since. I love soft pretzels. Does that mean I'm a baby Christian? I'm just saying that a baby is attractive to the desires that he has. If you desire the things of the Lord, you're going to gravitate to that. So a baby Christian that is not growing, the Bible says it's going to be evident in the fact, he tells us in verse number 3, through envy, strife, and divisions. Have you ever wondered why churches split? Most of the time, it's not over fundamental principles.
That's right.
Now, say that'd be a good place. Say amen right there. They don't split over fundamental principles. They fuss and fume over simple, selfish, self-centered things that they didn't get their way in, and so we're going to go next door, start another church. They're showing their carnality because carnal Christians evidence the fact in division. I've been in churches that are so cold and calloused and hard-cored. The Hatfields sit on that side, the McCoys sit on that side, and they dare not cross the aisle and shake hands because we're in a feud. The church is nothing more than a war zone. You got to decide which side you're going to sit on because we're going to fight that other side to the bitter end. Well, there's churches like that.
Yeah.
Carnality. Strife. Yeah. That's nothing more than debates and quarrels, fussing with one another, fighting with one another. Contentious with one another.
Yeah.
We're the family of God. Now, you husbands and wives, you know what it's like when something has got into your marital relationship that's caused a bit of a rumble. Oh, not here. You've never had that before. I'm sorry. I've met some married people that have had some disagreement. It's not a pleasant time at home when things like that happen. You go to bed at night and there's an imaginary wall. It's built right down the middle of that bed. And you dare not tippy toe onto the other side because you'll get slapped if you do. Now, I know you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, but let me just go on because I'm trying to prove a point. That's the way it is in a lot of churches today. There's a division, a line right down the middle. You don't dare cross that line. Carnality has ruled and reigned in the hearts of those individuals, and as a result of that, there's a lot of contention. Then he uses that word envy. I've got my eye on what everybody else has. Did you see the dress she wore this morning? Wonder where she got the money to buy that. I've been wanting a new dress for I don't know how long, and it just irks me to no end that Susie Q got her dress and I didn't get mine. Did you see that car that they parked on the parking lot this morning? Do you see that? My car is falling apart, has cancer, the wheels are about to give in. The engine won't start half of the time, and here they are. I'm coming to church, serving God, trying to do the best I can. They're sporadic in their church attendance, but they got themselves a brand new automobile. That's called envy. Envy. We shouldn't be gloating over God's blessing on somebody else's life. Now, here's going to be a good place to say amen. We ought to be rejoicing with them that God has been so favorable toward them. I think I'll just step over here and say, amen, preacher. Pick a little more in that pea patch. Carnal Christians. Well, it's almost lunchtime, but I'm not done yet. People that are carnal are earmarked by conflict, they're earmarked by defeat, and they're earmarked by fruitlessness. They're barren. They have no activity in their spiritual life and fruit to show for it. They're barren, carnal. And the only way that you're going to be able to overcome that is to focus on God. So the means to overcome is getting your attention upon the Lord rather than each other. Just focus on him, what he wants. When Jesus was teaching about prayer, he talked about God's kingdom coming. That's God's kingdom ruling in our individual hearts and lives. You got to focus on God for that to happen. It's not going to happen without that. So if you're going to overcome carnality, you're going to have to focus on the Lord. You're going to have to keep your mind centered upon the work of God, because you are no use to God if you're a carnal Christian. Let me run that by you one more time. Not sure you got that one. You are not useful to the work of God if you're a carnal Christian. You're not useful to your church here. In fact, you're causing problems in the church. You're standing in the way of what the Spirit of God wants to do. So you have to focus on God, and you're going to have to get growing and becoming stronger and keep your mind on the things of the Lord. You're going to have to separate from any sin and any error. You wonder sometimes, how in the world could those people leave our church and go to that church what doesn't preach the gospel? Or let me put it in a different way. I just don't understand how those people could leave Grace Baptist Church, a King James Bible church. That's what you are, right? I need more amens than that. This is a King James church. Am I right? Now, if I have to get out the mule and bring it in here to kick you into submission, we might have to do that. But this is a King James Bible church. And so you say, I just don't know how that person could leave our King James Bible church and go to that church that preaches from the NIV. I just don't understand that. I can. They're carnal. They're convinced that I need to appeal to what I feel and what I want rather than what they're giving me. We never had a choice when we sit down at the meal table when Mom prepared a meal. Never had a choice. You ate what was on your plate. And you ate till it was all gone. You didn't turn up your nose and say, I don't like peas. You didn't turn up your nose and say, I don't like lima beans. You didn't turn up your nose and say, I don't like spinach. Are you hearing me, kids? You didn't have a choice. Whatever Mom put down there, you better gulp her down and get her down, or you're going to sit there till 10, 11 o'clock at night until you do. Mm-hmm. That's the way my mom was. When you come to church, they don't pass out a menu asking you what you want or what you don't want. Right. Well, I think I'll say amen to that one myself. Amen there. Carnal Christians, they need to separate from all sin and all error. And carnal Christians need to be reminded, Jesus is coming. And they need to be reminded there's the judgment seat of Christ. That we answer for what we have and what we have not done. We're going to answer for that. There'll not be a litmus test to find out whether you're saved or lost when you stand before God. That's already been settled. But there will be a test as to whether you were faithful with what God has entrusted to your care. And we all need to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. Payday's coming someday. Yeah. That's why he reminds us in 2 John, don't lose your reward. Yeah. You mean we could lose what we've already earned? Oh, yeah, sure enough. Unfaithfulness cancels. And so I just remind you this morning, there's three types of people sitting in the church every Sunday. Some could be lost. Two types of Christians sitting here every Sunday, some that are carnal, some that are spiritual. My question to you, to me, what are you?
Yeah.
What are you? Hmm. If you're not saved, why not come and let us show you from the Bible how to be saved?
Yeah.
If your heart's not where it ought to be with the Lord, you need to come and make that right. If you're growing in the Christian faith and grounded in the Word of God, you ought to fall on your hands and face before God and say, Lord, I'm so thankful. You've been merciful to me. I'm so thankful for that. And express your gratitude to Him for what He's done. Let's stand with our heads.